This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, Seth, they just showed that pick six you were talking about. Linebacker strolled in backwards into the end zone.
Well, no, and it was funny because Al Michaels was saying, like, well, there was no whistle. We'll see how they rule this. Because the ball never touched the ground. So it was either a fumble or an interception, but the ball never touched the ground. And this is when I know that Al Michaels was as sleepy as you were because of how boring that game was.
Past his bedtime, man.
Yeah, and I couldn't, like, it happens. It's just, man, it just happens. It happens too regularly with Al.
It does these days.
And you're trying to be polite. You know, he's like, well, there's no whistle. We'll see whether they rule this an interception or not, or a forward pass or not. Like, it doesn't matter, Al. The ball never touched. I mean, yes, it matters in terms of how they write it up, but the ball never touched the ground.
Yep.
The rules, it doesn't matter whether it was a fumble or an interception. If the ball doesn't touch the ground, they're going to let it keep playing.
They're going to let it go. Yep. All right, let's stack the card for this weekend. It's a good weekend of NFL football. These are the games that don't involve the Texans. I would say, if the Texans, and you guys know how we do this, we do a couple undercard games, couple mid-card, semi-main event, and then the main event of the weekend. I think there's three or four games, at least three games you could argue are, well, four if you include the Texans. It could be, as they like to say, this could be a main event anywhere in the country, Mean Gene. There's a lot of good games this weekend. But we'll start at the bottom of the card. These are the more compelling, lower on the board games. Mm-hmm. The London game at 8:30 is always a fun watch just because you feel like you're getting away with something, watching live sports at 8:30 in the morning on a Sunday. Unfortunately, it often involves the Jacksonville Jaguars, which makes it a little less watchable. This one involves the New England Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars. This has the potential to be a really ugly game with a fantastic storyline because there's a chance that if the Jaguars lose to the Patriots, they might just open the door of the plane on the way home and shove Doug Peterson out of the plane and drop him in the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah,
he might like revoke his visa or something.
Yes,
I don't know what they're. It's getting ugly in Jacksonville. I guess it's been ugly, but this is like a fever pitch here.
Yeah,
and I would imagine it's got to be hard as a Jaguars fan where you lose all these home games to London and. Probably half the time you're like, oh, thank God, I don't want to go see him anyway. Right, at least I've got an excuse now.
Yep. What do you think? You watched New England last week. You think Drake May in week two has a shot here against the – got to have a shot, right? The Jags are – they got two teams got the same record right now.
These 100%.
Two bad
yes, of course
teams.
They have a shot. Yeah. No, and I think that the Patriots defense, that actually – I should have brought that up more this week. The Patriots' defense has defended the run pretty well. So last week, those two big explosive plays, that's not the norm. So that was good. The Patriots' run defense on a down-by-down basis, you know, won more downs versus the Texans than the Texans did, but then they let up some of those big plays. Yeah. I don't think the Jaguars have what it takes to combat
Jags,
any of that.
Jags 5.5 is the spread right now. Jags are favored by 5.5 in that game. That's interesting. All right, next one on the undercard. Again, the undercard is typically games that have a real, like, one wrinkle in them that makes it interesting. Cincinnati at Cleveland is interesting to me. When does the hourglass run out of sand for Deshaun Watson? Does the hourglass run out of sand on Kevin Stefanski before a benching of Deshaun Watson? And now Cincinnati is trying to kind of save their season. They're 2-4 right now.
Right. Well, and Nick Chubb comes back this week.
That's big.
So you've got Nick Chubb coming back versus a Bengals defense that struggles to stop the run.
Yep.
So that might be it. It might be as simple as that. Is that, okay, in that offense, where they want to be able to do all those old classic play action and run and setting up all the it's a Coop Shanastani offense.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe that ends up making Deshaun Watson look a lot better. I know Shedeur Sanders to Cleveland talk has heated up a lot.
You know I'm here for that.
Which you know means that's right. Yeah, it's awesome for us for offseason content.
Yes.
Is Deion angling to block Shedeur from going to Cleveland, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I guess as much as I'm happy for Nick Chubb that he's returning, I do feel bad for him. The best thing for Nick Chubb might be for him to get injured again. don't delude Cleveland into thinking that you've got something with Deshaun Watson.
Well, and I think Cleveland, too. Look, if you're a Texan fan, I'm guessing that game is also a noon Sunday game, so most Texan fans won't be watching it. But I think Cleveland has sent out the signal that they are open for business when it comes to trades. They sent Amari Cooper, at least from a skill standpoint, maybe not statistically, but from a skill standpoint, their best receiver. They sent him to Buffalo for a third-round pick. Again, if the Texans, I think the Texans are going to be at least 6-2 after the next couple of weeks. And I think firmly, regardless of their record, firmly in the market to make some pickups here at the trade deadline, I think Cleveland is one of those teams you can start to kind of poke around like you're in the bargain bin section at Walmart a little bit, you know?
Yeah,
they've got cornerbacks, and the Texans need cornerbacks right now, you know? So that's something to keep an eye on. All right, so that's the undercard. The mid-card. And these are compelling games. I don't know how good this game is going to be, but the storylines on Sunday Night Football for the Jets and the Steelers are really juicy. This is Devontae Adams' first game as a New York Jet. Miraculously, his hamstring is healthy again. I mean, God does amazing things, like healing Devontae Adams' hamstring. And Russell Wilson is going to start for a Steelers team that, in the standings, has done good things so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we get Russell Wilson and Justin Fields to the bench.
And going against a very good Jets defense.
That's right.
So Russell Wilson, we've got quarterback controversy in Pittsburgh. The part about Devontae Adams' hamstring injury that's annoying me is that people are writing in articles things like this on ESPN.com talking about Devontae Adams. He appears healthy after a 3-week hamstring injury. Oh. Like, are we really just gonna act like he definitely had a hamstring injury just because they said it was a hamstring
injury?
You're
right. Injury? That's infuriating.
Is there anybody on earth, like, you have to at least put an asterisk there or something, right?
Yes. Yeah. Or at least acknowledge.
At least acknowledge a hamstring injury.
I don't even think. I mean, look, we can. I did this. I sarcastically, when it was reported he was healthy again, sarcastically said it's a miracle. I'm not even throwing shade at Devontae Adams. I'm not even throwing shade at the Raiders if it was their decision. I understand it, but let's acknowledge the possibility that they put him in mothballs until they traded him. You know,
what did we all predict? This is not me being smart or something.
No.
We all predicted that as soon as he signed somewhere, the hamstring injury would be miraculously cured.
That's correct, yeah.
This is the alarming stat that I came up with across for the Jets now.
Give it to me. I love this. That's a maniacal laugh.
Their six-game point total is 113 points. Okay, well, what's that relevant to,
Seth?
You
saying on offense, you're saying?
Like, yes, the Jets' six-game point total.
Yeah.
Through six games, they've scored 113 points.
Yep.
That is the exact same as it was last season after six games with Zach Wilson at quarterback.
Yeah. Are we going to – people are really dancing around the possibility that Aaron Rodgers is a washed, bad quarterback.
Well, especially, you know, pass protection has been a problem. He's gotten hit 30 times in the last three games. But he doesn't look like younger Aaron Rodgers. I think he looks more spry and athletic than I thought he might with the Achilles tendon tear.
Yeah.
But I think he's less capable now at his age and after having suffered an Achilles tendon tear of navigating his way through poor pass protection than he ever has been at any point in his career.
You and I discussed this earlier this week with Aaron Rodgers, and people are ignoring it, and it bothers me a little bit. We've seen a bad version of Aaron Rodgers before.
Right,
this is not a great quarterback. This isn't Tom Brady, who's consistently great. I'll give you a better one. This is not Peyton Manning, who was, before the neck injury and after the neck injury, phenomenal until he wasn't anymore, and he couldn't throw anymore, and he still won a Super Bowl.
Wasn't phenomenal, though, he did so many things above and beyond the actual physical part that he made up for it.
He did. But
Rodgers doesn't do that,
right? And honestly, like even like above average, like Matt Ryan was consistently very good throughout most of his career, and then fell off a cliff. Aaron Rodgers has kind of fallen off a cliff before and then come back from it. Like, we've seen a bad version of him before. So this is not new. This could be bad, plus he's 40 years old, you know?
Right.
So there's that.
But he gets Devontae Adams.
He does get Devontae. We'll see.
Things get juicy. I'm hoping for general juiciness. I'm hoping that Devontae Adams does make a big difference.
Be fun. Well, except in week 9. We don't need that.
Right, no, well,
Texans.
I mean, it makes a victory that much better
there you
over
go.
The Jets.
I like where your head's at today. Like, all these things that the Texans are getting hit with adversity, you're like, yeah, man, adversity's opportunity. Pressure is a privilege guy today.
Pressure is a privilege.
Yep.
Success is rented, not bought, and the
Your slogan
every
guy.
Day.
Your slogan guy today. Seth has motivational posters all over his wall today. So that'll be fun. That Jets-Steelers game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. The other mid-card game, before we get to the two big ones, Baltimore at Tampa Bay is Monday Night Football. You can hear that game on Sports Radio 610 as well. That is a fun game, man. Baker Mayfield is a dark horse MVP candidate right now.
Lamar Jackson, as you might have guessed, is 6-2 versus Baker Mayfield in his career.
I could see that.
No
big
alarm or surprise there.
Nope.
The thing that shocked me, it wasn't even this. One thing kind of shocked me. Mm-hmm. And definitely if you had told me in August that this was going to be the case. The Ravens and the Bucks are first and second in the NFL in scoring. So the first part of that wouldn't have shocked me, but the second part would have been a mild surprise, even though they did good things last year.
Yeah.
But Mayfield... Baker Mayfield, second only to Jackson in fantasy points per game this year.
Dude, he's our quarterback for me. Amy and I, the team we share, he's been amazing for us this year.
Yeah, and I know that's not a huge surprise to everybody that plays fantasy out there, but again, going back to August, and just with
we got him for like a dollar.
You lose Canales and hire a defensive-minded head coach, and it just did not seem like it was going to set up well. So full credit to Baker Mayfield and the Bucks for doing what they're doing.
We got him in like the 11th round of the draft, you know? Like,
you're right.
He was not expected to be this, and they've been really, really good.
Baltimore's defense has given up the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks this year, but they do have a very good run defense.
Okay. Well, there you go.
What's the over-under in this game? Like 59?
Oh, good question. I know the Ravens.
I bet it's 52.
The Ravens are favored by 3.5. 49.5 is the over-under.
What'd I say, 52?
So, 52, yeah. So you should take the over on that.
Yeah.
If you think it's going to, I think it's going to be high scoring.
Based on my 7 seconds of analysis.
Why not?
Sean,
man?
I'm a little bit more learned and meticulous.
Trust your
about
gut, Seth. Trust your gut. All right, semi-main event, the second biggest game on the board this week in Detroit, minus the Texans. We don't put the Texans in this exercise. Detroit at Minnesota, also a noon Sunday game, and yet it involves what I think a lot of people view the best team in the NFC right now. Either of these two teams. I think people are more buying into Detroit than Minnesota, even though Minnesota is undefeated. So we're gonna learn some things this weekend about both of these teams.
Is it simply a case, Sean, of people naturally trusting Jared Goff more than Sam Darnold?
Yes, it actually is.
I know the two storylines in all of this with the quarterbacks are fascinating.
Yep.
And just an indication that you can never be too certain about how you feel about any quarterback in the NFL ever again.
We just got done talking about Baker Mayfield 30 seconds ago.
Right. So, the Vikings defense is very, very impressive, as we saw firsthand.
Yeah.
So, the Vikings defense versus that offense and Jared Goff is going to be fascinating.
Should be fun, man. That'll be good. That's a noon Sunday game, so I imagine a lot of Texan fans won't be watching it, or you'll have it on a smaller screen maybe, but that should be a hell of a game. Detroit at Minnesota. Main event of the weekend to me, this is a late window game on Sunday. Kansas City at San Francisco, a rematch of the Super Bowl last season. Are you surprised that San Francisco is a 1.5-point favorite in this game? San Francisco 3-3. They've been up and down this season. Kansas City undefeated at this season, but not... I know it's going to sound nitpicky. Yeah. They're not an impressive 5-0 this season.
Exactly. Like what the Chiefs have been able to Astros their way through the regular season at times, and then last year especially.
Yeah.
And then obviously they've got issues with the receivers and whatnot.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are the fourth worst red zone offense in the league.
Okay.
That would be the one. And the 49ers actually aren't that much better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Chiefs have, the Chiefs obviously are very formidable defensively. Yeah, I'm surprised that, I'm not surprised. I guess they've got the home field advantage, so it's a 1.5 point favorite for the 49ers. So teams still look at they're still looking at the Chiefs as the better team.
Yeah, on a neutral field. Right. If this were the Super Bowl, let's say, like, the Chiefs would be a small favorite in this game on a neutral field. I am buying San Francisco -1.5. I think the Chiefs fall this weekend. I think the 49ers get the Chiefs this weekend. And which is big for me, because you know I'm not a huge Brock Purdy guy. But Brock Purdy's been very good this year. The red zone's been an issue, you're right. But yeah. Purdy has been certainly better as they've gotten their record back to 500 here. I don't think Brock Purdy's been the problem with San Francisco this year.
You know, and Brock Purdy has never been an underdog in a regular season game.
I can see that. I mean, they're an awesome team. That's a great roster.
I was wondering, at first that spoke to Brock Purdy being on an awesome team.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that is transitioned towards also like a grudging acceptance that Brock Purdy is a good quarterback?
It's a little of both.
Yeah,
it's a little.
I feel like this is one that, this is a game that I think maybe midway through last season the 49ers would have been an underdog.
Yes.
But now Brock Purdy has, he's earned a certain level of respect.
I think so too. So that's... that's a pretty good card this weekend, my man.
Last week was kind of a dud.
It was.
Around the NFL.
Yes.
The games, there weren't any games that maybe didn't look good on paper but ended up being an awesome game.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a bye week for everybody last week.
It was.
So this week we're back to intrigue and storylines.
Big time.
Shedeur Sanders watch in Cleveland.
Big time, yeah. And I think the Texans-Green Bay, I think the Texans and Packers game stacks up with these last couple games we just got done talking about.
They got Romo.
They got Romo. They did.
Which matters to some people.
Stamp of approval. Yeah, for sure.
My wife, apparently. I have to watch.
Is she excited?
Keep an eye on her. Of all the guys that I thought I had to keep an eye on when they're around my wife, Tony Romo was going to be the last one I ever thought.
Yeah.
And now she just looks at Romo as like, he's just so much fun. Oh, no. Don't worry, Seth. No, he's like a brother to me. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
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 That's a bad sign. That's a smoke signal.
And all of a sudden it becomes, no, it's like he's a stepbrother to me. That's just like, you know.
It's further and further.
And our parents got married when we were 21.
He's
lines are blurred, Seth.
He's like a third cousin in Tennessee to me.
He's like a guy I went to school with in college. Wait a minute.
Which guy? All right. So that's us stacking the card right there. We'll do the Circle of Swarm here in a minute. This is probably a good appetizer for it. Joe Mixon was on Chris Long's podcast this week, the Greenlight podcast. And Chris Long, former defensive lineman in the NFL, really good, now really good analyst covering the NFL. And has a great podcast. Ask Mixon about Bobby Slowick and Stephon Diggs.
Credit to Slowick, man. I mean, he dials it up, bro. He makes sure everybody on the offense eats. And even if somebody on the lower end of touches, you know, don't touch the ball like that, no matter what, he's going to get them involved some way, somehow. You know, it might not be to, you know, however, whoever's liking. But at the end of the day, we got so many unselfish guys that we're going to do whatever it takes, you know, to win a football game. And that's all that matters. You know what I'm saying? And I think that he dials it up well. I think that what Diggs brings to our offense is definitely something special. I think that's probably what the younger receivers been looking for, or, you know, looking to be like, you know, one day. And I think that with Tank seeing what Diggs does, how he prepare, how he come to work, he bring the juice and everything like that. I mean, in terms of the outside narrative for Diggs, it's like, I think personally, he just misunderstood. Cause the guy that I see each and every day, you know, as a competitor, of him trying to be the best football player out there, you know, I think he just misunderstood, man. The guy come to work, great attitude, ready to go, get the guys going.
All right, so there you go. Stephon Diggs, misunderstood.
Two things about that. The one, the misunderstood part, I think Stephon Diggs is maybe the the prime example of the evil of social media.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Stephon Diggs played in the early 2000s before Facebook was invented, then I don't think that you probably would have ever heard, you know, maybe there'd be some sideline eruptions or something, but it would be no big deal. It just, you look back to any of the controversy surrounding, and a lot of it just starts on social media.
Yeah.
So he just might be a guy that needs to, and to his credit, there hasn't been a hint of any kind of issue like that.
Zero.
The other part about that was Mixon talking about Bobby Sloak getting everybody involved.
Yeah.
I do like that in terms of, I think there's sometimes you hear that and you think the old school part of you is like, guys need to play hard no matter what, and that's the way it is. There is a part, whether a guy's a good dude or a bad dude or anywhere in between, getting guys involved and getting them touches just keeps them more engaged. Mm-hmm. Naturally, is going to keep them more engaged on every other part of the game.
Yes.
You talk about it with big men in basketball all the time. Just, all right, just be sure they're touching the ball and getting some opportunities and keep them plugged into the flow of the game. I think likewise, if you look at like the Cowboys right now, one of the things that's really hurting them is that the guys who aren't the primary option, the receivers, are just, they're not running their routes hard.
No.
They're lazy.
Yes.
And some of that, it ultimately all comes back to McCarthy, but I wonder how much of it with them, you know, without diving into their numbers, is about just also maybe just getting guys more engaged and getting them more, feeling the payoff of like, okay, I'm going to run my secondary routes hard, but when I'm the guy, I'm the guy.
I think one of the things that D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio, and Nick went on a long answer about this with us on Wednesday when he was on, when I asked him about when guys get their money, how do you sniff out, how do you identify guys early on bringing them into the NFL that are going to be guys who are in it for the long haul that don't really care that they just got the $30 million a year contract and they're not going to up and leave at 27 years old and say, hey, I hit my target in earnings. I don't need to take the punishment anymore. And he went on Nick, it was a really good answer. It was a long answer. About finding guys who love football and finding guys who love to compete. And I think that is the one, like, that is one thing that's at the very top of why the Texans are where they are right now, that the two of them together, I think collaborating, Nick and D'Amico, have done a really good job of bringing in guys who, I think, it's not lip service, you know?
Well, like, right, and we've seen that with the receivers, including Diggs this year, is their willingness to block.
Absolutely.
And Diggs will throw himself in front of a defensive end. Just that part of it, that goes a long, long way. Sean, is a defensive player, defensive backs especially, when I talk about guys not running their routes hard all the time, in the NFL where you got a lot of super smart defensive backs, like guys that are savvy, they can tell by body language of guys coming out of the huddle sometimes.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, the ball's not coming in.
So smell blood.
That's where, like, Jimmy Ward versus Kalen Bullock, one of the things you get Jimmy Ward is, you can read the body language of guys. You can tell if it's a run sometimes by the way the wide receivers come out of the huddle.
Yeah.
Like, you just, okay.
I'm not touching it.
Or there's one guy that always just, like, comes out of the huddle, that's kind of great, disengaged, man, because it's a run play, lines up kind of lazy because he knows all he has to do is stand out there and step in front of the cornerback. Like, so all these things, these little clues, it adds up over the course of a season. And when you're sloppy and lazy with it, that's why some offenses – that was frankly one of the huge issues with Cliff Kingsbury's teams.
Yep.
Was that those guys got lazy and defensive backs could tell exactly what was coming because of body language.